Day. Amen. And if you have your Bible, we're looking over in the book of Genesis this morning in chapter 1, and we'll get right into the message is called God's Trees, and you'll understand it whenever I get into it here. In fact, this message was brought about by the nursing home where I am the chaplain. And because of all the COVID this last year, they were not allowing anybody to come in to visit. You know, what was sad was, you know, little old people in there, their parents, their kids couldn't even come in and be with them. And they're dying in the nursing homes and the hospitals and just that with all the COVID. It was horrible. That died alone. Many of them died by themselves. And finally, they start, now it's opened up and I can get in them now. But they called me just, it was in March. And they said, you know, we've had several pass away that I knew, almost every one of them. I've done several funerals for them. And they said, we want to do something special. What we want to do, we're going to have a tree planting ceremony. We're going to plant a tree out here on our property. And that tree is going to be a remembrance tree. And we're going to plant it. And we're going to have you come and do a dedication service and preach for us a little bit out there. And it's done in memory of the people. In fact, there was five names of folks that I knew very well that have passed away there. Judy Gorski, Shirley Capecchi, David Tarver, Katie Christensen, Victoria Celedano. And they said, we want you to come and we want to plant that tree dedicated in memory of these folks that have lost their life in the COVID, from the COVID. And also in honor and memory of the people that are the staff that stay, you know, in the hospitals and nursing homes. Those staff people couldn't get out all the time. Some of them were having to spend the nights there and everything else, you know, and in honor of them for taking care of those dear people at their hardest time of life. Amen. And so I did that. I've never done that before, but I like it. And the little tree's still growing. That's the main thing. Amen. I go by and check it every now and then and lay hands on it, put a little water on it if I can, because I want to keep going. But trees are important. And they're very important in the Word of God. And I like trees. In fact, as we look at Genesis 1, verse number 11 there, look at that with me, Genesis 1, verse 11. And we're going to be looking at a few verses if you want to look today. But Genesis 1, verse 11, this was the third day of creation, amen? The third day, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, and whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And of course, that was on the third day. And then also we see then, In verse number 29 of that same chapter, verse 29 of Genesis 1, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-yielding bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. Now, let me tell you, at this point in the annals of time, no death. Nothing had ever died, okay? In the God created and in the beginning here. And at that point, if nothing died, you know, in the millennium it says the lion will lie down with the lamb and all that kind of stuff. Right here, guess what? You know what the lion and the lambs were doing? You know what the elephants were doing? The dinosaurs? Talk to Carl Ball, he'll tell you about it. The dinosaur? You know what all anyone, right, at that point, man hadn't been created yet. But other animals were, and they're fixing to be. Guess what they ate? They ate fruit off trees, amen? They grew things in the ground. I mean, praise God, they probably had corn. I like corn, amen, don't y'all? But the world at that point, they were eating the fruit trees. That was their meat. They were not eating each other, amen? Dr. Carl Ball, he got church going in Fiji years ago down there. That was a cannibalistic island for years and years. Many missionaries went down there and they got eaten. Amen. He got a church started. Now they have a great work going down there now. But I mean, right here, there was the only thing people ate was what they grew. that God grew and the fruit trees that they ate. Amen? I believe they had all kinds of things. I believe they had pears. I believe when we pastored in California, we had trees out there. We had orange trees. We had lemon trees. We had lime trees. One man in our church, he showed me his tree. He said, one part of the tree he had lemons, one part he had lime, and one part he had orange. I said, how'd that happen? He said, well, I just put them all together some way and spliced them in, and they grew. I wouldn't have believed it. I thought he was pulling my leg, you know. But they were all there. But the thing about it, and we had much fruit in California, man. We had people bringing us melons and everything all the time we were there. But they were making it on that. Amen? Nothing had died. Nothing had happened wrong here. And so the trees are, you know, trees are important. And without trees, you probably wouldn't be alive today because, trees, they give out, you know, we breathe in and they give out what we don't use, you know. And so trees are very important. And when I think about that, then I look over in Genesis chapter 2 and look at there in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8. Genesis 2, verse 9. Genesis 2, verse 9. And out of the ground, the Lord God made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen. And then verse number 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay? And then we know it's over in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And then the woman said unto him, verse 2, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And then we know that the temptation took place, and there... in verse number 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and with her, and he did eat. I believe in the Bible there are three major trees I want to preach about today. The first one is right here, and this is the tree in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that two times in these verses you saw that the devil misquoted God. Amen? Amen? And then Eve, she misquoted God because he said, well, you know, don't eat of that tree, but you know, and don't touch it, you know. I mean, you get in trouble in this world if you don't quote God right. And that's what's wrong with the Bibles today getting changed around, the NIV and all that junk. They're changing things. You know, I could write a Bible today and call it the Williams Bible and just preach it, and everybody have to do what it said. Amen? Well, that's not right because God wrote the book. He only wrote one book, all right? All scriptures give them the inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto his own work. And I believe that here we see that Eve disobeyed God. This tree, the two trees that were there in the middle of God, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge and good and evil, okay? And God said, you shall not eat of the tree, very clear, knowledge of good and evil, amen? Because the day you eat it, you're going to die. Guess what happened? She ate it. She looked at it. That's just the way all sin is. She looked at it. Or she saw it. She desired it. And she took it. That's the way sin all is in the world today. People go out, they see people dress immodestly. Don't do that junk, amen, you know. They see folks out, well, boy, they're having a good time drinking that beer, sitting around out. Hey, you look, you're going to ruin your life when you do that stuff, amen. And then Eve took of that fruit and the forbidden fruit, and because of that, then, and we blame it on poor Eve, amen. you poor ladies. She gave it to her husband. He should have said, no way, woman.
Amen.
I mean, you're supposed to obey me, not me you. Amen. I'm not going to take of that fruit. But guess what? No. He took it, didn't he? Amen. He took it. So who was guilty here? Both of them. Both of them denied the word of God. And they took of the forbidden fruit. God had given them all of the garden to take good care of. All the fruit and all the plant, everything growing. I mean, they had it made. And he only told them one thing you cannot do. Amen? My kids were growing up. I told them all kinds of things they couldn't do. Amen? And they still did them anyway. Amen? But I mean, what if you said, man, you can do anything you want, but you've got one thing you can't do. Temptation, isn't that right? That's temptation. But she took of that tree. And because of that tree, we believe that the Bible said in Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. I believe today that death came into this world. And I don't like to die. I don't look forward to dying. But for to be to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen. And if I do die, you know, I'm absent from the body and present with the Lord. Amen. In fact, if the rapture was to occur during this sermon, those of you left, carry on. I'm gone. Amen. But anyway, old Johnny Flanagan, he said, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. I'm not looking for the signs anymore. I'm listening for the shout. Amen. It could happen before this church service is over today. But I mean, the sin entered into this old world, and man, we've got death by sin, and we know that Romans 5:12 said, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death had passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Amen? I mean, I like a lot of trees, but this tree here, it wasn't the tree's fault. God made the tree of knowledge and good and evil. It was man's fault for disobeying God's command. Amen? So I'm not calling this the best tree in the world. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God's eternal life. Amen? God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 21:15, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay? I mean, and I hear the lesson today in Sunday school. I still believe in Luke 16:23 that the rich man in hell lift up his eyes being in torment. I preached a sermon here just a while back for a pastor friend of mine that died. Brother Bobby Oliver, he pastored for years at Alvarado, Texas. He pastored down in Vidor, Texas. He grew up in Cleburne. He probably got saved as a benefit of your dad also there. I knew him as he grew up. He was an honorary guy and a mean guy. But he got saved. He went down to Alvarado, Texas, took a little church with 10 in Sunday school, got that thing up running about 200 in Sunday school. Amen. Then he went down to Vidor, Texas, and got down there, got that little church that was about to fall apart, got it going. They started running about 200 in Sunday school. And this Bobby Oliver, what a reputation he had. He was a hellfire preacher, buddy. One church he pastored, the deacons came and said, do you have to preach on hell this much? He said, I'll tell you what. He said, if God lays it on my heart, I'm going to preach it. Amen. And the favorite saying he had, and I said this at his funeral, what is there about hell you like anyway? I don't like nothing about it, y'all. I don't want to go there. I'm not going to go there because I got saved. But because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve and partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, when God said, you can do all everything else you want, but leave the one tree alone. That's the one thing they did. And because of that, we're sinners today. Thank God I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Thank God, like old Paul, man, on the road to Damascus. I mean, he said, you know, James, 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. That was Paul said that. And I know there's a preacher friend of mine in Howe, Texas. He had pastored Bethel Baptist Howe, Tom Moore, if you never knew Tom Moore. But anyway, a guy came forward to his church one Sunday to get saved, and he got to deal with the altar. He said, now, why'd you come up here? He said, well, He said, I'm one of the top 10 sinners in Grayson County, and I'm going to get saved today. And old brother Moore said, well, you're not the chief of sinners, because Paul said he was, and the Bible doesn't lie. Amen. But I promise you that sinners can be saved. The worst sinner, you say, well, I'm a sinner today and I can't be saved. Well, you know what? By the grace of God, you can still be saved as long as you've got breath and life in your body. Amen. I mean, I've led people to Christ on their deathbeds. I'm sure your pastor has too. Amen. I've seen a bunch of them get saved. I've tried to lead people to the Lord in hospice houses that had already got under, you know, they were kind of out, they had the pain medication, and they weren't responding. And I mean, I've got down right by their ear, and I preached to them a little bit about being saved. And I pray they got saved, amen, before they went out of this old world. But I promise you today that this world is full of sin. And the tree that I'm not the most favorite one of is the tree of knowledge and good and evil. But again, it's not the tree's fault. It's not the tree's fault. It's man's fault today. And you're a sinner today because you sin. Amen. We're a sinner because we're lost. And the same way that Adam and Eve were. And we need to be saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then look over to Luke 23, would you, in the New Testament. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and I want to read verse number 26. Luke 23, verse, the first one, the first tree again, I could call maybe that the sin tree. The second tree I'm going to talk about is going to be the cross tree. The cross, amen. Luke 23, verse number 26. I like to hear the Bible, the pages rustling. That's good. This is a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, old-fashioned, don't have a narrow piece of literature Baptist church, amen. Amen. That's my kind. That's what I like. In Luke 23, verse 26, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Amen. The second tree is the cross tree that Jesus Christ had to bear. The Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life on Calvary for us. The Lord Jesus Christ over in Isaiah 53. Just listen to these verses. Isaiah 53 is like the John 3:16 of the New Testament. And it said there, for he grew up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. Verse 3 of Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrow, but we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of his peace was on him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to our own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross, amen, suffered and bled and died for us on that cross. There was a song that I'm not going to sing for you. God grew the tree on the small, lonely hill that he knew would be called Calvary. He made a seed that would grow to be a tree that he knew would make his son bleed. He made a green stem and then leaves and gave sunshine. He grew the tree he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. He grew the tree so we might go free. Still, he grew the tree he knew would be used to make that old rugged cross. He was crucified on a tree that he created. He grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Just think about the trees of this world. Think about God Almighty had to grow a tree that one day the cross would be made from, where Jesus Christ would suffer and bleed and die on that cross. But thank God he was willing to do that to give us our salvation that we have today. God bless that. Amen. And God loved us so much. Mark Gray is one of my favorite gospel singers. He sings our church a lot. And I like what he sings. You know, God cared enough to give the very best that he had. He gave his best, amen. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God cared enough, he gave the best. He knew when he grew that tree. He knew when it was going to come up, just like the trees in the Garden of Eden and all. He knew one day there was going to be a tree that they were going to go and they were going to hewn that tree down and they were going to put together a cross and they were going to stick that cross and lay it on the ground. They'd put Christ on there after they put the crown of thorns in his head and after they beat him and spat on him and mocked him and cussed him and everything else. And then they laid him out on that cross. They nailed the nails into his hands and his feet, and then they put that cross in the ground, and he hung up there on that cross, and for a spectacle, my wife and I, in 2018, after we'd retired, we were privileged to get to go to Israel, to the Holy Land, with Dr. Carl Ball and another group of Christian people, and we got to spend two weeks there, and we saw where the place of the cross was. We saw the skull. It's in the side of the mountain outside of the city of Jerusalem, and you can tell it's a figure of a hewn out, like there's two eyes and a nose. You can tell that was a skull. That's what, if you read the Bible, it talks about Calvary, and most references tell you the place of a skull. That's where he was crucified, right there. And then just a short ways from it is where the garden tomb was at. And there we get to see where the cross is. Then you get to go there where the tomb is. And it's just the big opening there. No rock around anymore. I don't know what happened to that rock. I guess the angel just threw it away. But anyway, but you get to go in, and you have to kind of bend down a little bit to go in the opening, the door. But you go in there. Everybody gets to go in. You look all around, amen? You look in there, and there's a place. You know, there's where Joseph Arimathea would have been laid, the man that owned the tomb. Right beside him would have been a place where his wife was. Right by there would be a place where his child would be. And you could look in there and get ready to come out. And everybody I know that I was there with came out and said, "He's not here, he's risen. This tomb's still empty." You know, they say, and I've read this, for years people have gone there, scientists and everything else, and they have hunted in that tomb with all the equipment. They have not found one shred of DNA in that tomb. Guess why? Because Jesus isn't there. Amen. He only had a 3-day rental, all right? 3 days and 3 nights, and he is out of that place. But bless God, he died for us. Amen. He gave his life on that cross for us. And when he hung on that cross, he made some sayings, you know, there. The first 3 hours of the cross, 9 to 12, was, is it about 12 right now? What time do y'all go home? About 1? Okay, all right. Nine to 12, normal time. Jesus made 3 sayings on the cross. The first saying he said was in Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If that had been me and you on that cross, we'd say, "You sorry devils, put me up here. What have I done? Heal the sick, raise the dead, and everything else. And you're crucifying me? You ought to be crucified." He didn't say that. He's also, the second thing he said on that cross, he said in Luke 23:43, he said, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." That was that one thief, you know, that said, "Lord, remember me? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I believe that, amen. I believe when you get saved, you're saved. And that thief on that cross got saved that day, and that day they both died, and they both went to paradise, to heaven, all right? And that thief on the cross, he had never got baptized, never joined a church, never paid a tithe. Y'all say amen to that, probably. But I'm going to tell you something. If that thief had lived and got off that cross, he'd have got baptized by John the Baptist. He'd have been a Baptist church member, amen? Amen. He would have, I guarantee you, he'd paid his tithe, he'd give to missions, he'd be faithful every Sunday. Amen. Third thing Jesus said on that cross, he said, "Woman," John 19, "behold thy son." Then said he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." He was worried about his son. The first 3 things said on the cross by Jesus was nothing about him. It was about everybody else. Everybody else. Amen? He loves us. He gave his life for us. And then the next, from noon to three, it was dark. That's the earth was dark. From noon to three, while Christ hung on that, this is Jewish time, he was on there. So the cry during the darkness, the fourth cry, was the cry of desolation. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some have questioned, why did he say that? Well, he knew the answer. He knew that God had to turn his back on his only begotten son. He knew that the price of sin had to be paid for. He knew God loved him so much, but God at that moment had to let him endure all the suffering and pain that can be endured for this world that we might be saved. Then he also said another thing there. His fifth saying was, he said, I thirst. You study that out sometime. When he first got on the cross, they tried to give him this vinegar stuff. It put on the end of a stick. They stick it up there. What it's for is to deaden the pain. That's basically what it is. It's like a wine. It's like some concoction that they made up. He refused it. The first time he refused it, okay? But now, and he's about to die, he said, don't matter on that, but just put it on up here. Don't matter. Now I'm about gone anyhow, okay? He didn't worry about it anymore. He said, I thirst. And then the sixth thing he said was he cried, it is finished. Glad to hear those words, aren't you? The sermon's not finished yet, but the cross, it is finished. The payment of sin has been made. Amen? The purpose of the cross tree has been fulfilled. Christ died, and it's finished. The price is paid in full. You don't work your way to heaven by works or getting baptized. You get saved by grace through faith of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it's all paid for. All you've got to do is it's paid in full. Just get saved. Amen? Then the last thing he said on that cross was, Father, in thy hands have I commended my spirit. He gave his life there on that cross. I've been with people that died many a time. Brother Mosley has, I'm sure. And I've seen people there that, you thought, well, they're breathing real bad. We don't know if they're going to make it. And they seem to be just hanging on. And we don't know what's going to happen to them. And all that stuff. And next thing you look over there and they're gone. They just go that quick. I believe Jesus did that. I believe it was time. He said, I'm just going to go. I'm going to be, it's my time. He dismissed his spirit and went on. Amen? And he's in heaven now for us. Then last, and I'll be done. This will be a short one, promise, on this one. I want to talk to you about the third tree. And that's in Revelation chapter number 22 and verse 2. Revelation 22. If you'd look there real quick, I'm done. Revelation 22. That's the last book of the Bible, by the way. And you might note in this, the last phrase of the Revelation 21 or 22, verse 21, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I believe John was a Texan when he wrote this, John the Apostle, all right? With you all, amen. But here in Revelation 22:2, and in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. That's in heaven, amen? We're going to see that. And could that be the tree of life that was back in Genesis there where it was in the garden? We had the tree of life there. We had then the tree of knowledge and good and evil. You know what? If Adam and Eve had not fumbled the ball, millennium would have started right back there maybe in Genesis 1. The tree of life. There would never have been a death in this world. Jesus wouldn't maybe have had to die on that cross. Amen? But here, we know when we get to heaven, there's going to be a tree of life. And it's going to have 12 different manners of fruit every month. It's going to change. And some of the fruit, I know it's going to have on there. It's going to have probably apples. It's probably going to have pears. It's going to have peaches. It's going to have plums. Yeah, plum. There's plum trees. That's right. There are persimmons. I hate persimmons. We had a persimmon tree when I was a kid growing up. The only thing I know good for persimmons, get them when they're mushy and have a persimmon fight with your brother. Amen? Throw them all over you. Amen? But also, I believe one fruit that's going to be on that tree of life is going to be bananas. Because we got a Baptist have banana pudding or we can't make it. Amen. We're going to have banana pudding in heaven. I guarantee you. Amen. But I mean, the tree of life. Praise the Lord for the tree of life. This is the maybe the greatest tree. Maybe the, but it's going to be in. It was there in the beginning. It's at the end. The tree of life today. I'm glad He planted some trees. I'm sorry for the tree of sin. I'm in a way, I'm sorry for the cross, but I'm not sorry for the cross because I wouldn't be saved if it hadn't been for it. But I'm real happy for this tree of life because guess what? One day, all of us that are saved, we're going to be there. We're going to be around it. Boy, we're going to be sitting down eating banana pudding together in heaven. All, and we could just eat it for eternity. Amen. It won't hurt a thing a bit. But today, as we close our service, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, boy, you ought to get saved today. If you're, you know, you just don't want to miss out on that revelation, you know, that's pretty good stuff. And if you're saved today and maybe you're not serving God like you ought to, just remember what Jesus did for you, man. Just remember what He did, died on the cross, suffered, bled, and died so that you could live for Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer and we'll have an invitation. And if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, we'd invite you to come to this altar and be glad to have people to help pray with you and everything. And it's going to be page 17, Have Thine Own Way. Lord, if you'd like to stand, I'm just going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll have the invitation, and I'll be at the front. Brother Mosley's back there, he's up here, and we'll be glad to help you if you need to come. If you need to come pray for anything, any reason, join the church, rededicate your life, get saved, whatever, you can come. Lord, bless your word. Bless this invitation. Thank you for these dear folks and this good church and pastor. Bless every one of them in Jesus' name. Amen.